Are you ready for new dimensions and countless possibilities today and for the future? It's an exciting new time, and the answers are out there. So join Mary Jane Popp as she explores the unique and unusual for a better life on Pop Talk in search of the truth. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
And welcome to Pop Talk. I'm telling you, this hour is going to be fascinating because a little bit later on, we're going to talk about you, how to go from ordinary to extraordinary, and you can do it. Trust me, we're going to give you the tools. But before we do that, wouldn't it be good if we can have wisdom through guidance from the universe? Well, hey, I'm willing to get it. I can use all I can get. So let's hang in there and find out exactly how we can do it. And I want to keep it as simple as possible, don't you think? Let's try. Do you want to access universal wisdom? But you say, there's no way. Don't tell me that. No, I should say, don't tell Jill Amy Sager that. She is a professional tarot reader and channeler and also author. She is into metaphysics and self-development, but it wasn't always this way. Her birth was not normal. We'll find out why. But it doesn't stop there. With her connecting with guidance from the universe, her radio frequency is always on. Now, Jill's latest work is Guidance from the Universe, Hopeful Messages for Everyday Challenges. Hi, Jill. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks for having me today.
You bet. Now, what do you mean you weren't normal when you were born? What happened?
Well, I was born with a physical disability, one leg shorter than the other, and through a series of surgeries, my leg, the surgeries didn't work, let's put it that way, and I became more disabled, and this happened through my childhood.
Aww.
And I was born in the 60s and lived with a disability through, you know, middle school and high school, and a visible disability at a time when it wasn't as
accepting.
Accepting. You know, this was before mainstreaming and all
that.
You know, I was in special classes, etc. So unfortunately, I really had pretty low self-esteem. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. Maybe even women, can relate to that, right?
Yeah.
We all come with our baggage. And, and so that was kind of my backstory in terms of how I grew up.
But it's got to be difficult because kids, let's face it, kids are not very nice to each other. And they judge you, you know, and they're very open about it. So it's hard to get through a situation like that. But you need hope, right?
Yeah. And I had parents who, unfortunately, they weren't supportive of me emotionally what I was going through. I was pretty much on my own to deal with the loss of mobility and the bullying and the rest of that. But at the same time, they didn't baby me. And there is something to be said, you know, looking back at my life, for the fact that they didn't, like I said, didn't baby me. And so being on my own a lot and having to be strong for myself,
it toughened
really
you up.
It did toughen me up, and I've never felt like a victim, and I've never felt, you know, and as a kid too, I think children adapt maybe better than adults. I'm just thinking that's true for me. That was true for me. And so I learned to adapt, and I learned to ignore, what people were saying, but it still affected me. Affected my, as I said, you know, my self-esteem and my self-confidence.
Yeah. I think, like you said, everybody has baggage. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was growing up, I was a little overweight, you know, had pimples on the face. And if people were, you know, negative to me, I kept saying, I'm going to show you. And that it does toughen you up. But unfortunately, today's standards with social media, I think it's rougher on kids than when I was growing up and maybe when you were growing up. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm not exactly sure, but I think that there's definitely more pressure because I think you're right. It, you know, social media maybe creates more pressure for kids
to be
more perfect, or, you know, maybe it's like that, right? I wasn't aware of so much except for my little world back then, right? Because we didn't have social media. And I think, too, that being strong and being tough and learning how to adapt was helpful, obviously, and I talked about that. And I think, too, that perhaps, and I'm spitballing here, but perhaps I have a resiliency in my nature that maybe some people don't have. And I definitely can see that now, you know, that I'm a woman in my 60s, that I've been pretty resilient. And that's for me, that has been a great asset.
Now, you talk about your radio frequency. What the heck does that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. What happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened and what that is. Basically, in the 70s, I left New York City. I was born in the Bronx, and I left New York City and moved to California, the land of opportunity. That's how I saw it. A land that was freer, more free thinking than
accepting.
New York City. excuse me?
Accepting.
yeah, definitely. A little more freewheeling, you know? And I met somebody who gave me a tarot reading.
Oh.
Now, I didn't know anything about tarot. This is the 70s. It's not like today where there are many tarot readers and many decks. And even today, you know, NPR, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, they're all talking about tarot, writing about tarot in favorable ways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back then it was definitely odd.
Yeah.
But she gave me a deck. Because when she gave me my first reading, just like today, no different, the cards really spoke to me. I cannot explain how tarot itself works, but it definitely spoke to me. It seemed to know, the cards seemed to know me.
Mm.
And what happened is I got into reading for myself, and pretty soon, you know, I got better at it. My sister was telling her friends I read it, and it grew. And over time, using those cards and using pictures, my intuitive reflexes opened. Maybe, you know, that right side of the brain. I became very intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw things in the cards that weren't there. And also, too, at that time, I was playing music. And, you know, music is another way that we work on our creative side, that intuitive side. There were other things, too, going on I don't need to express, but what happened about 10 years or more after I started becoming very intuitive, I heard a voice. This is what you were asking about, this radio frequency.
Yeah.
And I knew it wasn't mine. And I knew it wasn't like my mom telling me what to do from inside my own head.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid attention because it was so loving and so much wiser than me. I am not a philosophical person, into religious studies. I really learned so much from this radio frequency that I believe from all now years of experience with this, receiving messages from perhaps what I think of as the other side of the veil, the other side of what can't be explained, perhaps, because I can't explain it. But I do liken it to a radio frequency because you just turn on the channel and it's there. And I know this sounds very cliche, but I really do believe if I can tap into this wisdom, then anybody can, really.
Hmm.
I think it's available. That's been my experience and what I see with other people as well.
Now, you're a channeler. What do you channel?
Right. So that's it. I get information from this wise source that I can't explain rationally, and I can't pigeonhole it, and I can't put it in a box, and I don't know what it is. What I do know is that when it first came in and I asked, well, who are you? What are you? What should I call you? The message that came through was, you can call us anything. You can call us Mary or Harry, or it doesn't matter, because vibrations are names. names are vibrations.
Yeah.
So
it's like guides?
Yeah. So I specifically started to call it guidance because that means help.
Oh, okay.
And some people who do this or feel like they're connected to universal messages of love and understanding and wisdom, they refer to whatever it is they're getting as guides, or it could be an ancestor. It could be somebody who you just knew, maybe that passed over. For me, honestly, I'm in the wonder of it. I've been doing it for, 40 years now. I don't want this to sound, but I don't really care what it is because
it just is
pure. Yeah. And it really is pure love. And I want to say that one of the reasons that I've never identified it or needed to is because for me, love is such an expansive feeling.
Yeah.
It's more than just I love you. It's just a feeling that is very, very expansive.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt that if I box that in or try to explain it, it might get garbled.
Ah.
It might start to, having to explain things.
Yeah.
Is kind of can box things in. You know what I mean? Or people can start to put their own spin on it.
Yeah. So what kind of questions do you ask this guidance?
Well, for myself, I ask many questions. Especially when I'm having a hard time, I will sit down, I will relax, I will ask, what do I need to know?
Mm-hmm.
Or what is it that I'm missing? And I get fed some beautiful information about myself.
Oh.
Tarot and what I channel, this source of wisdom and love, that really what I'm doing and what is available, I think, to all of us is profound wisdom that is helping us to better ourselves.
Hmm.
And what I mean by that what I mean by better ourselves is to really accept ourselves more and love ourselves. What I have learned through self-acceptance and learning how to better love myself becomes...
Oh, are you there?
I've learned about that.
Okay.
Is, I think, not rocket science. I think we all know that when we're feeling better, we do better. We do better for other people. We do better for the world at large and our planet, right? We all know that. When we're grouchy or in a bad mood, we yell at the customer service person.
Yeah.
Get angry at our kids. So it's this kind of awareness that I'm learning how to be more aware, less asleep. And that's what I do for clients as well. Help them to unstick, unblock, try to help them find more hope, to understand that we are all, we all have choices about how we want to live, not necessarily physically, as I can't make my disability go away, but certainly I can make choices about perception.
Yeah.
And what I want to believe.
I don't want to label you, but are you a psychic?
I am. Yeah, I would say that, but I don't, thanks for saying you don't want to label. I mean, I don't use the word psychic because certainly I think it conjures up a certain, especially in Western society, I think it conjures up a certain idea about predicting the future. Now, that's not to say that that doesn't happen with clients. That's not to say that I'll tell them things and they'll be like, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about that. So I get all different kinds of information, but I don't necessarily, don't tell anybody this. I don't necessarily advertise that I'm psychic. That's why I say I channel, because that to me feels a little bit more true to what I like to do.
Okay, so if I come to you and I say, hello, Jill, what is your channel telling me? Or do I have to ask questions? I mean, how does it work?
Yeah, no, you don't have to ask questions. I did a reading. There's an organization called Awkwardly Zen, which I love. These are great people. It's a community of like-minded people, seekers, people who are trying to understand themselves better. So so, as I said, they can, you know, do better in the world. And I did a book launch the other night, which was wonderful. And they have about 20,000 people all over the world who are tuned in to this particular website. Not that I had that many listening. I don't mean that. But it's just, it's very popular. And they were kind enough to allow me to do a book launch. So it was on Zoom. And I also, and I did readings for people. We did a giveaway. We did the book launch. I read from the book. But I, you're asking, you know, what people get or what, how it works. So I still love using tarot cards, and I did that, and I, you know, throw cards for people. But I also received information from the universe. It all kind of comes together. And people do sometimes ask specific questions. I often say, you know, the more specific you are, maybe the more specific we can help you.
Mm-hmm.
But some people just wanted messages. You know, just tell me what I need to know, you know, so it varies.
Interesting. All right. So if I asked you, what do I need to know? What is your guidance telling you that I need to know?
Oh, would you like me to do a reading for you? Is that what you're asking?
Oh, sure. If you don't mind.
Oh, great. Okay. Sure. I can do that for you. Yeah. Let me, here. Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay. Do you have to prepare?
No.
Oh,
no. But I do love, as I mentioned, I really still love using tarot cards in a way. I don't know. I can't explain why. I've been doing it for so long.
No, that's
so
okay.
I just pulled them out.
Okay.
And we'll see, you know, we'll see what tarot has to say, what guidance has to say for you. All right. The cards are out.
Okay.
Let's see what comes through for you.
Good.
Let me say this, that there are a few things on the table about you. One is that it feels to us like you are in a time when you are, and I always have to, I always say this to clients, first time clients, I have to find the right word, right?
Yeah.
Express what I'm getting.
Sure.
So sometimes it's a little slow. But what I'm feeling for you and what they're showing me is how you are somebody right now who's dreaming and wishing and wanting. And it's, you know, I'm not going to say that you're, like you're not satisfied with what you're doing, but it feels to us like you're wanting more,
mm-hmm.
that you're wanting additional things or wanting more, and that you're starting to figure that out for yourself. And it has to do, and we understand too for you that it has to do with it has to line up with who you are. I'm looking at the Empress card. It has to line up with who you are. And you're aware of this now, that whatever it is that you want to add into your life has to line up with who you are as a person. And we also feel like whatever it is that you're thinking about doing or wanting to do, that part of where you're at right now is that it might feel a little risky, that you're feeling that perhaps. So we don't feel like you've jumped into it yet. But it does feel like it's percolating for you, and it feels very exciting.
Oh.
And the other thing too, I'll say, is that you've also got health is around you, and you know, health is a lot of different things—body, mind, spirit, whatever. So you know, it just feels to us like that's something also that you're paying attention to, and if you're not, it's something you might want to be thinking more about it. If you're somebody who right now has been thinking I should be exercising, but I'm not, well, everything on the table and guidance is saying, yeah, you know, maybe stop thinking about it and, you know, get on that treadmill, et cetera.
Okay. So health.
Did any of that,
yeah.
any of that resonate for you?
It does. It does. Health wise, cause I'm up there in years. you said you're in your 60s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
60s.
Yeah,
68. Okay. I'm in my 70s. And toward the top of the 70s. So am I going to be around to accomplish this stuff?
Well, I'm not going to predict that for you.
No, no, but, I'm not saying what year or anything like that. But, you know, just to be healthy enough to do it.
I don't do that. But I will say this. I felt when I was reading for you and getting information for you, what I felt was that the potential was there.
Oh.
And I think that means, you know, go for it, because who knows? Who knows? And something that I learned from the universe is that things change. Things can change quicker than we expect them to sometimes.
That's true.
You know, we can sit back and wait or even think, you know, as we do, it's normal to think, well, I'm getting up in years. Why would I start that new project? But you never know how quick something can happen. And it only takes action to move us forward, really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something I really do feel for you. I can't tell you how long, what you're thinking about will be good for. I can't tell you how long you'll be around. But certainly I feel like you could dig your teeth. You could sink your teeth into it at this point.
Terrific.
Because it feels important.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you tie in metaphysics along with what you're doing. How does that fit in?
Well, I think metaphysical is just a kind of an umbrella term for what this new age, these new age ideas are.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that perhaps, I think metaphysics is a little bit more like new age seems to encompass a lot of things when we use that term, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Western yoga or, many different kinds of new agey ideas about life and health. But I think that, I think metaphysics is a little bit more pointed. I think it's the umbrella for the modality of things like tarot or oracle cards or, I'm trying to think other kinds of ways that we can mediumship people who talk to people who have passed over. I think that is more in line with a very specific kind of understanding about the universe that, as I explained, or as I think it is, perhaps what's on the other side of what's not as,
yeah,
as tangible, right, or as rational as the life we're living, you know, right here.
So what do you want people to take away from guidance from the universe?
Well, thanks for asking. My book came about because I had what some people call automatic writing. I was receiving messages from the universe, and I was writing them in a spiral notebook. And years ago, I started to transcribe them onto my computer. And I have to tell you, I was amazed. I also should, sidebar here, I do not take what I do for granted. This is always a surprise to me. And when I receive information from people or even for myself, and it was the same with these messages.
Mm-hmm.
They were giving me information on topics like fear and awareness and suffering and loss and money and time. And there are 30 messages like this in the book. But then I decided to write my story. And quite frankly, that came about, I wasn't even going to write a book, but the universe said to me at some point,
get busy, Jill.
Do you think that all these messages were just given to you for you? And I was like, well, yeah, thanks. And no. So that's when I realized I should get it out there, get their messages out there. But it wasn't until I was transcribing those messages that I thought, well, maybe I'll write my personal story for how I have used the information to love myself more, accept myself more with my disabilities, with my, the way that I was raised. You know, like I said, we all have our issues.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the book are, every chapter has reflections, which enables the reader to jumpstart their own musings on the topic, because I put some questions in there that might help.
Gotcha.
So that's the format for the book. But when you ask, what do I want people to get? The reason I mentioned the format is because I thought that what people would get from the book were going to be all the guidance messages, because I think they're so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the feedback that I'm receiving, the book has been out since January 7th, so just a month and a half or so. And the feedback I'm getting is that people are relating and resonating with my stories.
Got it.
Now, I've been very surprised by this.
Now,
and so I'm getting texts and calls from people telling me that they, when they read my stories, they're thinking about their life. They're trying to understand better where they've struggled, trying to understand better where they can become a little bit less of a victim or a little bit more hopeful.
Yeah.
And that, I have to be honest, has really, really surprised me.
Now,
because
unfortunately, we've really run short of time. So I want to make sure. What do you have a website?
Yeah, sure. JillAmySager.com.
Okay. And the book itself, I assume, is available every place. Guidance from the Universe? Yes?
Yeah, it's being distributed by Simon & Schuster. So you can get it at any indie bookstore. Just request it at your library, anywhere. Sure.
Fantastic. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. And we'll keep our fingers crossed that the universe will share as much as it can with us so we can keep going forward.
Thank you so much, Mary Jane, for having me.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Take care now. Once again, that's JillAmySager, SAGER.com. Name of the book, Guidance from the Universe. Well, I hope they're really keeping paying attention to us. Anyway, stay with us. More to come. How would you like to go from ordinary to extraordinary? Well, that's possible.
As a veteran, you get a lot of advice. But wisdom's harder to come by. A lot of people imagine themselves in our shoes without understanding the weight on our shoulders. The truth is, few can understand the pressure of finding your own way after serving in the military. But few isn't none. You've got support. You can't control the chaos, but you can chart your way through it. Steady yourself. Take a breath. You're not alone. Learn more at maketheconnection.net.
It's hot to the max in the summer, and your air conditioner gives up the ghost. Who are you going to call? ACP Mechanical, that's who. I did, and I can't believe what a great job they did in my home. It's cool and comfortable with a job well done. Hi, Mary Jane Pop here. Whether it's cooling or heating, Enrique and his ACP Mechanical team can install, repair, commercial or residential, no matter what HVAC system you have or want, and they've done it for over 20 years. Air conditioners, heat pumps, furnaces, thermostats, all quality and affordable solutions, and they're bonded and insured. I know you'll love their work. I do. Call ACP Mechanical, 916-704-8556. That's 916-704-8556 for all your comfort needs. That's ACP Mechanical, 916-704-8556, and expect an expert job well done and right the first time. Well, we all have to make it through that bad night to a better day the morning after. So how would you like to go from ordinary to extraordinary? Could it take passion, purpose, and preparation? Well, Patty Dale Tye says, yep. And she also says that you can achieve remarkable career success in her book called Ordinary to Extraordinary. So what's your dream? Patty has had extensive work in healthcare and insurance. She has invaluable insight to help at any stage of your life. And it's a journey, life journey. And she has keys for your journey to achieve that success that you dream of. Nice to have you with us, Patty.
Mary Jane, I'm so delighted to be here. Thank you. And I had forgotten that beautiful song, and I just love it. I'm glad to have heard it.
Well, it is like, you know, the morning after, you got to look at what's coming and hope for the best. But you got to hold on, you know?
Yes. And I know you are doing that in your new walk of life, so I wish you all the best.
Well, I appreciate that. Okay, but you talk about, you know, you got to have the passion for it. How do you build the passion, or is that something that should be in us, innate?
Well, beautiful term, innate, because to me, passion comes after you have understood what your innate aptitudes are. What's your essence? What are you good at without really trying? And then you turn that into a skill. And the skill you do over and over and over again, better and better, more complex because you like what you're doing. And suddenly you say, I'm pretty passionate about this. I really love this, but it takes time. And so is passion awakened in you, or do you develop it? I'm not sure of that, but I know that it comes for me and for many people that I have led after they have learned what their innate strengths are, and they have learned to master those strengths and get really, really good at them.
But you know what? I got to be honest, Patty. There are some people who say, I don't know what talents I've got. I have no idea. So how do they start to figure themselves out?
Oh, I hate that. I'm so sad for those folks. And I've been one of those.
Yeah?
I've been one of those. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, I've got in my book a lot of resources for getting your aptitudes tested or finding your strengths. So Gallup puts out a book called Strength Finders. Many of us have done that. I love What Color Is Your Parachute by Richard Bowles. That's a beautiful way to find your passions and your innate skills. And then I went to the Johnson O'Connor Research Foundation and had my aptitudes tested a couple of times. And aptitudes develop by the time you're 18. You probably won't have more aptitudes. You'll have more skill, but you probably won't have more of those innate strengths. So if you haven't had it done, go do it, and you will be amazed and surprised. And what comes with that, knowing yourself, will be confidence. And you can go a long way on the energy of confidence, don't you think, Mary Jane?
Oh, absolutely. And because if you don't believe in yourself, how do you expect anyone else to believe in you?
Right. Exactly.
And that's confidence. But there are some people that are confident and they shouldn't be, but you know, but hey, they're trying. As long as you're trying, isn't that half the battle?
It is. And you know, you're exactly right. There are two types of confidence. And one is that confidence with humility, and one is the braggadocious kind. And,
yep.
And we don't want to be the braggadocious kind, in my mind. I mean, you have to be able to, you know, stand up straight and be confident and walk in a room and all that, but you need to stop short of being a know-it-all or thinking that you know it all, because you probably don't. But I've done a lot of study of late on generosity, and generosity as a leader is a real superpower, I think. And part of that, Mary Jane, is because generosity, If you are generous with the people that you lead, 9 times out of 10, they won't feel scarcity. And when you don't give them anything to feel scarcity about, they grow their confidence. And from confidence, then they become cooperative. They are sharing. They are more able to be a great, high-performing team. There's definitely a connection.
Yeah, and I mean, the word confidence, like you said, you can take it either way. Over the top, you know, or you walk in. My daddy, when I was growing up, he said, don't brag about yourself. Let others brag about you. Do the best you can.
Beautiful.
And it's
that
true.
That is beautiful.
It is true. And don't you have to have a purpose in your mind, too? I mean, you can have the confidence, but if you don't know what the purpose is, why bother?
I agree with you. But I think purpose takes time. And it evolves. So in the beginning of a career, I think purpose is I need to get good at work. I mean, in all candor, I need to get good at work. You know, Malcolm Gladwell and his theory of 10,000 hours to get really good at something.
Wow.
In translating that to work, you have to work for 5 years just to get good at work. So your purpose is a bit of survival in the beginning and finding out how this work thing operates. But let those skills and strengths begin to come to the forefront, and then you will feel, hey, I've got a purpose in this life. This is what I was put here for. And it may continue to deepen and grow and change shape, but always try to look for that purpose, because it will give you energy on a definitely dark day. And you probably know that oh so well.
Oh, yeah. Being in this business for 48 years, you'll learn very early on. There'll be dark days, but there'll be a lot of good days, too. The other thing that people are so afraid of, and I keep telling them, don't do this to yourself. They're afraid of failure. And, you know, if you don't fail once in a while, how do you learn?
I totally agree. And as leaders, we need to give our folks permission to fail. I had a leader once tell me the most beautiful thing. He said, there's nothing you can mess up that I can't fix. And that allowed me to think creatively, think about more innovation. And I have tried to model that and say that to others. And the farther up you go, you have to be tender with those comments, because the farther up you go, the more you flip that switch and something bad will happen. But by then, you've learned how to put your own guardrails in place. But I do think you're exactly right. You have to be free to fail, or you're not going to move forward. And when we are fearful, we stagnate and we curl up and we just stay in our safe space. And that's just not a comfortable, we're not meant to do that. We're not meant to be in a constantly, I'm in the same place so that I don't hurt myself. You're just not a human being.
You can also all of a sudden realize, my gosh, I am being creative. I am thinking out of the box. And don't let, how do I say this? Too much with the computers, with kids, it worries me. Because their creativity, their imagination, who needs it? You know, it's just let the computer do it for you. And that's not good.
No, I so agree. And I'm seeing, it's interesting, Mary Jane, I'm seeing some turning back to what we used to do. I just saw an ad today for adult coloring books because we've lost our way to be creative in a childlike way. Mm-hmm. And to me, in a childlike way says, I'm not afraid. I can color inside the lines. I can use blue for a turkey. I can use red for the moon. I am going to innovate. And so maybe we are learning that we have been too dependent on the computer that can do everything, and not using our brains as the computer that can do everything.
Yeah, it is amazing. But there has to be a balance in life, though, doesn't there? Personal interests, professional responsibilities, and sometimes just playing. You know, it has to be balanced out, doesn't it?
Oh, I so agree. And that's part of why I hope that we will, in the workplace, strengthen our connections to one another. We've lost that. We've got the COVID hangover from that. And work can be fun. It can be the place where you laugh the most. I mean, you're there for 40, 50 hours a week. Why not find a way to laugh? But that, to me, is also a tragedy in this generation of new workers, that they have delineated work and life. They don't believe that they can merge together. And boy, I had a lot of great life in my work. Mm-hmm. I made best friends. I traveled so much. I created a life that was able to give me health and a husband and a nice ability to live a life that I wanted. They can't be separate. Yeah. That's my issue with balance right now. I know you have to balance in terms of not over-indexing for work, but Mary Jane, have we gone too far on the other side?
Yeah. In other words, so much focus. And people say, well, how do you balance? Well, you got to find your own balance. My problem for much of my life is that what I do is me. And it's hard to separate those two.
Yes. But that can be a blessing too.
Oh yeah.
You're the best at you. But I'll tell you, I think the digital era also ushered in, we were on all the time. And so we got too far on all the time. You couldn't take a break. You couldn't put your phone down.
Yeah.
And I had a really smart boss that at Humana that put a rule into place, and soon the company adopted it. And it was called digital detox. And a Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, we were done emailing until Monday morning at 8 o'clock. And that did two things. Number one, it gave me freedom to walk away from my phone all weekend, freedom from not thinking that that email that's going to come in Sunday morning when I have a perfectly perfect day planned that's going to crash it. And the unintended consequence was I cleaned up my act Monday through Friday so that I didn't get sloppy and say, oh, I've got all weekend to do that. I was a much more productive person as a result of that 5 o'clock deadline.
Got it. So do we ever stop learning? I hope not.
Oh, I hope not. I think that if we do, you start little by little just shrinking inside. And I don't want to shrink inside. I want to be, my maternal grandmother lived to be 104 and was the oldest living practicing chiropractor when she died.
Wow.
And she never stopped learning, and she never stopped learning how to help people with her trade, and she never stopped learning just about life. She saw so much change that she didn't want to turn her back on any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Change across 100 years is a lot of change.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going through various lifetimes, and like you said, we'd go from the wagon to the car to the moon. You know, it's just crazy.
To the moon. Yes, I remember being at her home when the first man, when John Glenn walked on the moon.
Yeah.
And it was just magical to be with her and to watch her, just because she had seen those evolutions that you've seen. We've seen them too, Mary Jane.
Yeah.
I mean, we've certainly seen them. That just seems like a really dramatic one that you just described, going from a wagon to man on the moon.
Yeah. Yeah. And now even more than that. I also want people to have dreams and new ideas. And I feel like there's some stagnation going on, and that worries me.
And I think that comes with the fear. And I will say, I think the fear is coming from so much exposure to social media.
Mm-hmm.
When they see this airbrushed perfection,
yes,
that is not reality, but they begin to feel scarcity. They think, I'm not that. How can I can feel that way, Mary Jane. I mean, it's called the imposter syndrome for you and I,
yeah,
but I think that there is a part of our population that is so into social media that they will feel they will never catch up and be good enough, but it's a bit addictive. So they keep doing that lather, rinse, repeat, and
yeah,
just can't get out. As you say, they stagnate.
Yeah.
They stop moving forward.
I have a dear friend in Los Angeles. His name is Peter Lamas, and he's worked on movies, and he
yeah,
does hair and makeup and all that kind of thing, skin care, all that. And I said, you know, you've worked with the Victoria's Secret models, you know, for their runway shows and all that. I said, wow. And he says, yeah, but you don't understand. If you see these ladies walking down the street, you won't even know them. And I said, what do you mean? He said, it's makeup, it's lighting, it's CG, there's so much. And unfortunately, I worry about the young people because they think they should be that. And it's not real.
It is not real, and it's just a dead-end street to compare yourself to the artificial.
Yes.
I mean, it really is. If you want it to be a bit of a guide, it's just like right now using AI.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it to be a bit of a guide, great. And it can spark a thought and help you clear up your thoughts. But to say that is my mission, if I don't get to that perfection, I am not, I'm a less than, is a terrible, terrible dead end.
Well, and how do I say this? They've got so many things that look real that are not real. I just saw one this morning. I've seen fake dogs, you know, but it's part of AI. And you would swear it was real. I mean it. And they've got a bunny that they came out with. It is adorable. It even wiggles its little nose. And it's like, I don't want us to go to that point of not knowing what reality is anymore.
Oh, I agree. Now, I will say that I totally agree with you, but I will say one positive use of that little bunny and that dog. I had an aunt that I was the caregiver for, mm-hmm. and she was up in her 90s, and she was having dementia, extreme dementia.
Yeah.
She'd always loved dogs, and this place where she was staying, they did have one of those artificial dogs, Mary Jane, and it was so comforting to her, and I don't know that she could recognize that it wasn't real, but it certainly didn't have to be walked or fed or watered. So that's the one, you know,
that's
beautiful
a positive.
Use
yeah.
of it. But to give it to a child would be kind of cruel.
Well, you know, we're hearing stories about people who are using AI, and they think they're a friend. You know, they share all their secrets with this AI friend. And it's like, how about sharing it with a real person? You know, I don't know. There's so many wonderful things that can happen with AI. Don't get me wrong. Especially in medicine, being easy. I've got an iPhone. I ask Siri all these questions, you know, turn my phone on, turn it off. But I don't know. Did you ever see the movie WALL-E?
I heard about the movie WALL-E. I was thinking about when we started this part of your conversation.
Yes. And it was basically that WALL-E was a robot that came alive in the future. So he was mm-hmm. old style. And he saw all these people sitting there on the computer and all these little robots running around and doing everything for them. So they didn't have to be creative. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to do anything but sit there and you know, vegetate on the computer. And it was eye-opener, big eye-opener,
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to go a day without it. I love that we've had technological advances.
Absolutely.
But we have to put it in its real place and know that it will never have feelings. It will never have passion. It will never have that soul purpose, a purpose of soul. And it won't really have the ability to make those decisions that only the human brain, that critical thinking part of the human brain, that an executive decision making that, you know, we alone hold.
But I'll tell you what, Patty, I've had people who are researchers in AI on the show. Just out of curiosity,
yeah.
I would ask them, do you ever think that AI could reach sentience? And there's always a pause, Patty. And they say, we don't know.
Oh,
now, that to me means you know. So,
yeah.
Isn't that scary?
It's scary.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But I like you, hope that we tackle some amazingly difficult things in the world of health, especially, gosh, chronic diseases
that
we just can't seem to stem the tide on. I hope we make great use of it I'm looking forward to it for health. That's what I'm thinking about.
Health and, you know, letting us be creative, but sharing some information, helping us learn. That's okay. I have no problem with that. But I just feel there was a movie. Oh, this is maybe 20, 30 years ago that I saw. And it was, robots, or I should say androids, because they looked human. They really did. And they decided that humans were just not worth leaving on the earth because all they do is war and hate each other and do crazy stuff. So let's just, you know, eliminate them and we'll have our own society. And I keep thinking about that movie and WALL-E, and I'm going, we're headed there. You know, I don't know.
Somebody's already thought of that. I know. It can be scary.
Yeah.
But we've got to stay curious, right?
Yeah,
curiosity is a beautiful human element.
Yes.
And then positive. And I can tell from your questions and your tone of voice and reading about you that you do have a lot of positive energy. You don't sit on the negative.
No. I try not to anyway.
And
you know what? One of the other things that you say, which I think is absolutely right, networking. You've got to be out there making those connections. Don't just sit and wait for them to knock on your door. I hate that thing. What they call, not visualization. What was it? The one that they said, well, you can visualize or you can, see it or feel it and it'll come to you. Baloney.
Yeah.
They're not going to knock on your door. You're going to have to knock on the door.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so much easier to build and keep our network current today because of technology, thankfully.
Yeah, there you go.
But to your point, it's not okay in my network just to hit the LinkedIn congrats or happy birthday or like.
No.
I need to go out of my way. I need to expend some calories on the people in my network and let them know that I genuinely care about them and have been thinking about them and wishing them well. And I'm sure you have a massive network, and it's not easy to touch all of your network every single year. But, you know, I read that the George Bush Sr. and Mrs. Bush, the Bushes, Barbara, they did that. They made it a point every day while they were having breakfast to contact X number of people in their network to make sure that they got through their whole network before the end of the year.
Wow.
And that's a beautiful aspiration.
It's a beautiful, beautiful way to start the day. That's great.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you, do you have a website?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. It's my name. It's PattyDaleTye.com. P-A-T-T-I-E, D as in David, A-L-E-T-Y-E.com.
Okay. And what do you want people to take away from your book, Ordinary to Extraordinary?
Confidence. That they, I'm a small town girl that was pretty doggone ordinary. And if I can make it as far in my career as I did, which was a very, very, very top spot at Humana. And now I'm a Forbes published author and a chief operating officer at a law firm. I mean, a lot of colors in my quilt. If I can do it, anybody can do it. I didn't come from a pedigree college. I did not come with, parents that manipulated the system to get me into college. I just was me. But I had great mentors. I figured out my aptitudes early. I prepared. I stayed polished. And I showed up every single day, assuming the breaks would come. You talked about your dad's, one of his pearls of wisdom. That was my dad's pearl of wisdom for me. Show up at work every day as if the break is coming today.
You know,
and it makes you show up very differently.
It's funny. I got a saying that I was going to use at the end of the show, but it fits exactly what you're saying now. It says, and it was from Beyonce, of all people, "I don't like to gamble, but if there's one thing I'm willing to bet on, it's myself."
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that nice?
I'm going to use that too,
yeah.
Mary Jane. That's a good one.
Well, and it fits. Exactly. If you believe in yourself, that's the other thing. You got to believe in yourself.
Yep.
There are so many negative.
That confidence.
There's so many negatives in one day. There's enough negatives in one day for a lifetime. So you just got to negate them. Negate those negatives, you know, and move on to the positives.
You really do.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, by the way, what do you do in your spare time? I mean, you don't have any spare time.
I love, right now, I love, I've got probably 120 seedlings in my basement. I live in Louisville, Kentucky, and our spring will come right after the Derby.
Aww.
Or right before. It's somewhere right around there.
Uh-huh.
And so I have learned to grow a myriad of different flowers for my garden, a cutting garden, from basements, from seedlings in my basement. I got grow lights.
Aww.
So that's what I'm loving doing in my spare time right now. That was my grandmother's passion. And she also was a wonderful jelly maker.
Huh.
And this past year, I bet I've made 100 little pint jars of pepper jelly from a friend's recipe. So those sound like throwbacks, but they're really, they give you such a sense of accomplishment.
You bet. Well, Patty, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. And keep up the good work.
I will. And you do the same. And you have a beautiful, bright rest of 2025, Mary Jane.
You betcha. You too. And again, Patty Dale Tye, T-Y-E. And you can go to PattyDaleTye.com. Name of the book, of course, Ordinary to Extraordinary. In the meantime, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and don't forget, dare to dream. Remember, how do you make a dream come true if you didn't have one to begin with? Talk to you next time on Pop Talk.